In the Bachelorette Championship game, Nate entered as the heavy favorite, but it was the scrappy Brandon who raced out to a massive early lead, fueled by hustle, clutch gift-giving, and impeccable penmanship. Though Brandon was the one to win over Michelle's family, in the end, it was Nate who bounced back and won Michelle's heart, plus a down payment on a new house. How will sports fans remember this back-and-forth and sometimes confusing title game? And do Michelle and Nate have what it takes to stay in Minneapolis and out of Pasadena? It's all coming up on The Bachelor Zone.
Bachelor Zone.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holiday, and for Auld Lang Syne, welcome back to the Bachelor Zone, your spin-free zone for hard-hitting Bachelor stats and analysis. I'm your host, Michael Wally, coming at you from deep in the heart of Hollywood. With me, as always, two of my dearest friends and your favorite Bachelor pundits and competitive dating experts. We got Zachary Pike.
Hello, Michael Wally. Hello, America. Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy holidays.
Great.
Trying to think of this other way.
No, Zach, you nailed it.
Covered it. All right. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Great.
And that's a tough act to follow for Daniel A. Duddy.
I don't really have much of a thing to follow up with. I have more of a question.
Yeah.
What is this? Is me being just a, you know, just a Jewish guy.
Sure.
What's an Auld Lang Syne?
So it comes from a poem, right? The song "May All Acquaintance Be Forgot That We Sing on New Year's" is a poem by a fellow named Robert Burns, who's like the patron saint poet of Scotland in like the 1700s. He wrote it, and I think it's just sort of like an old, sort of somber poem about past friends that maybe have passed away or are gone, and it's like Auld Lang Syne. I don't know what the actual words are.
I thought it was Scottish for old time's sake.
Yeah, I think you're
right. I might be a moron.
I think you're not wrong. It's close to that. Okay. It's like, oh, remember the old times? It's like a song about general nostalgia. I'll give you a better answer than that.
We should do a game show called Moron or Jewish Guy.
Yeah, no.
Answers Christmas questions.
Sure.
And while I think our fans most likely came here for Robert Burns' Wikipedia information.
Yeah.
Let's jump right into our headlines for this championship game instead. Brought to you by Spaghetti and Maple Syrup, the breakfast of champions. So Brandon was once again put in the leadoff spot for this title game, guys. And once again, he hustled around the base paths and seemed to be striking gold in every way that Nate was striking out, to the point that many people were thinking Brandon, for 2 weeks in a row, he might pull off consecutive Christmas miracles here. It didn't seem like a referee misdirect after a while. It just seemed like an underdog just flat out hustling more and wanting it more than the other guy. But somehow in the second half, Nate managed to do just enough to regain control of the game and emerge with the win. So, guys, I want to start by asking this. I think this is a question on a lot of people's mind today. What exactly did Nate do to win this championship? Can you identify a moment where either he won it or you'd say that Brandon lost it? Or was this just a classic case of the hot tall guy winning it?
No, I think there was a moment. I'm a bad pundit because I don't remember his exact wording, but he was talking with Michelle, and she said it. She called it out and said, like, you know, he kind of gave her the I love you speech, and that, oh, you know what it was? It was him admitting how hard it was for him to, you know, say these things and for him to, you know, what commitment means. And that he was scared, and that gate. And she said, like, oh, you finally gave me, you opened up, you were vulnerable. That's what I needed, right? Mm-hmm. That's all I needed for this to work. You were hot enough, and you gave me the requisite emotional support.
He showed 10%. He showed 10% of the yips when it counted, because he was sort of against the ropes. Like, Brandon was giving a run for his money, and I think was doing, we'll talk about it later, but maybe one of the best games I've ever seen, like, single inning plays. It was just insane amount.
It was basically a perfect
game. It was perfect. Yeah. So like Michelle was like, can you please just show like 10% effort? So, and then I'll give it to you. Like, I'll hand you the trophy. And I think there's some of that. And this is kind of apropos. I think it's also just like for old time's sake. The first, she mentioned it. Like, you got the first impression rose, first out of limo. Like, that was still hot on her mind. It wasn't that long ago. And he was like, man, I had such an immediate connection with you. And that was what was twisting her up when she was, you know, breaking up. Because I think she was genuinely torn. That breakup with Brandon was so rough. I think it was actually kind of a nail biter. Like, it kind of went down to the wire. And I don't think Nate was expecting that. And he just had to show that he was scared, which was, it's crazy because he had such a terrible game last night. But he was just that last little thing. I felt so bad for Brandon. It felt like he, like, put his whole heart out there on the floor. in the ring, and then like in the ninth round, he just got like a nice lucky chin check, and it was just over.
Yeah, this championship game, it left me with a bitter taste in my mouth, and here's why. From a scorecard standpoint, I feel like Brandon didn't just beat Nate. I think objectively, he blew him out of the water. He dominated him for almost the entire game. I mean, he had Levon smiling. He had Ephraim rolling over laughing. The giving him a bathing suit was genius. The sweater to Michelle was fine. His words only got more effective and salient. His trips to the smoochery only got more passionate and creative. He got Michelle to say, I love you, mm-hmm. in the championship game. And Nate, on the flip side of that, I do think the referees exacerbated the tough sledding. I don't think that he had as rough a time as we were led to believe. And mm-hmm. I think that was for the sake of a misdirect.
Yeah.
For drama. But even still, Nate, yes, he did make good on some clutch trips to the red zone when it counted. That helped him seal it. But from a conversational standpoint, he never found his footing. No. Not with Michelle, not with her family, not with the shaman, not with anybody.
Arguably, even after the final rose, and we'll get into it at the very end, but like even at the end, I was still like, this guy got this? Is he all right? Like, he still didn't have it together.
He seemed a little more at peace on that couch, but like, it wasn't until then that I got like any sort of comfort
level.
They
asked him to scream, and he like talked 10 decibels louder. He's dumb.
Look, but here's the thing. This
also breaking news. Okay. It means for the sake of old times and old Scottish.
Okay, thank you.
So I was really close, actually. Yeah. Thank God.
I think this game isn't played like week to week. I think it's played throughout the season, right? Yeah. So I think if you look at just what happened in this week, it doesn't make sense. But if you look at it over the course of the season, it's as if like the Falcons playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl. If the Falcons are up 28-3 and the Patriots get oh so close and they go and it's 28-27, no one's talking about that game anymore. You know what I mean? That's what we kind of saw, I think. It was over the course of the season. Nate held such a lead that, we saw this incredible, miraculous surge, this almost upset, but he didn't complete the upset, you know? And it was, he had a mountain to climb. And I think, you know, he did the best he could, but Nate was so far ahead. Like, we got to give him props for what he built throughout the entire season. What he built was being really, really tall for Michelle. And you can't take that away from him.
And he's been building that since birth.
Yeah.
Being tall.
Arguably, he must have explained his tattoos at some point, too, to her. And that must have went okay for this to happen, how it did. Also, Wally's nose is bleeding now because of that hypothetical Patriots thing that you just said.
Christmas came early, reliving that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was one. And I think that's a really good point. I totally agree about it. With speed dating, it's about the big picture. And that's the fickle thing. With this game, in an isolated bubble, Brandon dominated Nate. And there's no doubt about that. But speed dating, it isn't just what happens on any given Tuesday. It's also you're playing against your opponent's portfolio that they've been building versus your own. And then even more importantly in this case, you're building against the judge's biases. Mm-hmm. And Michelle, she has proven to us, I think, Daniel, like you said, the key word was the requisite amount of assurance. I don't think whenever Nate launched into his speeches trying to win her over and seal the deal, I don't think any of them were great. I don't even think he had a good, like... The two-suit speech was okay, I guess.
Right, that's what the two-suit speech was I was talking
that's
about.
That's the one I'll probably remember, but for the most part, he wasn't amazingly convincing. He was just convincing enough. Just convincing enough for Michelle to shoo away the red flag.
That's what's so painful about it, right? It was just like one of those... It's hard to do an analogy to football because it's like you can have a terrible season and then have a great game and pull an upset out of nowhere, like college football or
the Lions just did it to the Cardinals.
Exactly, that kind of thing. It's more like, a game of cricket or something where it's just like this crazy deficit gets hung up and then the team, like, in the final, whatever the fuck they call it in cricket, just, like, completely self-implodes and has, like, one of the worst... you know, tries or whatever the fuck it is for like, you know, the last
three
hours.
Does this also apply
to
baseball maybe?
Maybe, yeah. So like all the way to the seventh inning stretch, they run up like 11 runs. And then the last three innings, the pitcher just throws like can't even make it to the home plate.
Yeah.
Like just garbage. I guess that's a bad analogy because those would all be balls. But like, you know what I mean? Yeah, I guess so. He just like loads the bases up a bunch and lets the guys, you know, score 10 runs in an inning.
Yeah.
And they still are able to pull it off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's frustrating.
Because it is just one game, but really it's because of the judges or the lead's biases. It's really more like a pennant race.
Yeah.
Where not only do you have to win, but you also need your opponent to lose to catch a game on them. And then we reached a point here where Nate was ahead by like 5 games with 10 games left in the season.
Basically. Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it is. That's a better analogy. We finally got it. But like, I think it just sucks because, well, it doesn't suck. I wasn't hot on Nate this entire season, right? Fairly enough. I think a lot of people weren't. Some people loved him. I know Allie was like a fan of him that we had a couple weeks ago. But he's not legendary in my mind. Like Brandon, if he would have pulled off this upset last night, would have been like almost a Hall of Fame immediately.
Brandon, like, to me.
And he still kind of is. Like,
I put him in the Hall of Fame.
I'd still put him in the Hall of Fame just in what he was able to pull off these last couple weeks. And Nate, because of the fact that he allowed that to happen and how much of a nail biter it is when he was really kind of like up there with Joe the entire, he was kind of a two horse race the entire time. He's just kind of average now to me in history's sake. You know what I mean? Especially if they're, which I'm, you know, we'll get into later, but I'm assuming, you know, this doesn't last. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, let's now that the results are in and we've seen these guys work and we know what they've accomplished, where do they rank in the annals of the game now? Let's start with Brandon. Daniel, you do think he's a Hall of Famer?
I think it's so hard because Hall of Fame, you look at the entire body of work, and I want to see what he does in Paradise. I think he could lose the Hall of Fame with some, but I think he's going to go into Paradise and be the king.
Yeah.
Yes, his performance throughout this season, he didn't pull it off, but damn, was it the most sincere heart, guys. I cried during that. Like I
came close a couple times, to be honest with
legitimately
you.
Legitimately cried during this dumb reality TV show where when he proposed to him and him walking away. Oh my God.
And you know why I felt emotional? Because with most of these breakups, yes, the person who loses is disappointed, but also in the back of their mind, they're thinking, I'm going to go down to Paradise in a couple months. I'm going to crush it down there. Like, things are good. There'll be other options.
Yeah.
Brandon, in that moment, maybe he'll come around to feeling that way. In that moment, he didn't care about any of that. I think he truly, truly loved Michelle. And that's why it was the most brutal breakup I've seen on this show.
It was. I definitely saw glimmers of hope during after the final rose, but the finale segments of the live finale stuff with Caitlin. There was little glimmers in there, I think, of him. He kind of knew that he was the fan favorite. It was probably being surrounded by all those adoring fans and people who are supportive of him. I think he knows. I think Joe, like Grocery Store Joe, probably gave him a wink. Like, you're gonna have a good time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You're gonna be like me. He's like, I was in your boat. I know where it's at. And not even he's even got even more good graces going into Bachelor in Paradise than Grocery Store Joe. And I think that was impossible.
Yeah, Joe's like, just keep sliding instead of taking hits, and like, and you'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
The longevity is gonna be there.
Yeah,
but that's why he. I love that analogy because you know the player comp. I think Brandon is most like. I think he's Rocky. I think this was the end of Rocky One.
You mean the fictional character that Sylvester Stallone wrote, Rocky?
That's exactly right.
Sure,
yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he's Rocky. I think he went down to Apollo, but goddamn, did he last the whole fight?
Yeah.
And man, and he took every single shot on the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did not back away. He did not block a single punch. Mm-hmm. This guy went headlong into the fight and said, I love you, Michelle. I know I'm going to get socked in the mouth. And I'm going to take the full brunt of brutality if this goes wrong, but I'm still going to do it anyway because I love the game.
Stretching this analogy even further.
I think it's perfect. Wally, have my back.
I
love that analogy. And actually, I even think it's Rocky IV. It's Rocky fighting Ivan Drago.
No, that's Paradise. I was going to say Demi is Ivan Drago.
Demi's going to break.
Yeah. If he dies, he dies. That's what's going to happen.
Okay, how is it Rocky IV?
So I feel like Rocky versus Apollo Creed, you're like, okay, Apollo Creed is definitely the favorite, but Rocky's got a shot here. With Ivan Drago, you're like, oh my God, Ivan's going to wipe the floor with him. Mm-hmm. Like, Rocky might die in there. Like, I felt like Brandon had almost no chance going into it. And the fact that he still, like, he made it close. Mm-hmm. And if I was judging it, I'd say he won.
Didn't he beat the crap out of him though? Like he beat Calvin Drucker.
You tried.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and there was no, like, American versus Russian subtext, so, you know, I think my analogy was better, but...
Yeah, it's like a Cold War analogy. I can't do it at all. I can't do it at all. It's like Larry David, almost. In my mind, I can hear it, but I can't replicate
that
it.
That sounded more like Pete the Pizza Guy.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Hey, what do you mean? Wow, you
call me a narcissist.
Hey, guys. You guys do a Stallone? I can't do a Stallone at all.
How you doing?
It's not about the dog in the fight. It's about the fight in
that's
the
better.
Dog.
Oh, that's it is more nasally like that. Yeah, it's more nasally. It's like a Long Island thing. All right. Well.
But, you know, in terms of speed dating, you know who Brandon reminded me a lot of, too, is actually Blake Horseman. Because Blake, his paradise story was a whole different thing. But when he competed for Becca, he went on a dead sprint for 9 weeks.
Yeah.
And we thought, my God, like, how does he have anything left in the tank at this point? And Blake did fizzle out in that championship game.
They also both look a little...
But Brandon, he went on a dead sprint since week one, and somehow, some way, he just reached deep within and came out with a fabulous game for the championship.
See, but, like, Blake sucks compared to Brandon. Do you know why? Because Brandon, like, the whole time, yes, Blake was, I see the comp in that they were both so emotionally tied to winning, right? They really wanted to end up with their partner, with that person. But unlike Blake, Brandon was completely in it. Like, he put Michelle above all else, right? Like, Blake, the whole time, he was like, oh, Becca, I don't like you going on dates with other people. Oh,
that's
what about me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Blake. Oh, we went on the first date. And then, oh, where's Lil Jon? Brandon was like, hey, Michelle, even if you don't pick me, that's okay. I want you to be happy.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that move when he did the whole, after the, you know, the rose ceremony move, when he did that whole, like, hey, you don't need to pick me. And now it's one of my favorite things I've ever seen. Because him doing it, like, reiterating it, like, that, it's like, it was like watching someone play really good jazz. But yeah. It's like, no, that wasn't a wrong note. Let me play it again. That, and it's a choice. That, and it was like, yeah, that was great.
And when he said, when he left, oh, my God. And when he before he went on the limo and he talked it out and was like, yeah, you know, there was a part of me that said, I should fight for her. But then she made a mistake. But then he had the emotional intelligence to be like, but I don't think she did make a mistake. She did pick Nate, and he knew it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he knew it, and he really did the best he could. Like, my God, the ball's on this guy.
Yeah.
And conversely, when Becca broke up with Blake Horseman, he broke down crying on the beach, and he said to her, you're making a mistake right now. Mm-hmm. Whereas Brandon went the opposite route. He said, it's like she chose Nate. I gave my best, and I lost this game.
And I think because of it, in 3 weeks, when Nate and her break up, because he's not going to move from Winnipeg or Austin or whatever the hell he's from, I was thinking she'd go to Joe. I think now she's got a good chance of going back to Brandon.
And you know what's like, I bet Brandon would take her, but man, do I like want that guy to move on.
Yeah.
And find...
No, he's a king, yeah.
Yeah, if there was anyone who's... Like, that's why he's my Hall of... If there was anyone who's a king to come out of this fucking show, it's this guy.
Yeah, the way he put Michelle first like that I think is what differentiates him from the other Charlie Hustles that we've seen. And that's why I think when he does go to Paradise, which he will, he's going to avoid that Blake Horseman trap where you come in hot and everyone and the squawkamole's there. Everyone's thinking you're going to run away with it, and then you blow up because you weren't ready for it. I think Brandon is going to avoid that trap, and he'll be ready because he is different.
People are going to love him.
He's
also
likable.
He was also pretty likable the whole time, right? He didn't really get into it too much with anyone. He jawed a little bit when it was like the whole house against one guy because there was the clear villains at the beginning of the season. But yeah, I didn't really get into it too much with anyone down to the wire. Like, I think one of the things that was weird to me for that fantasy suite episode was like how cordial the guys were with each other and how kind of almost boring it was in that way. But I think he's going to do great down there. He truly is wonderful. Thinking of that comp of Blake and him, they also were very equine looking. They both kind of look like if they were turned into an animal of Harry Potter style, they would be horses.
That truly is a horse man.
I know. I mean, it's well-trod territory with him, but now when you put them face-to-face, and I pictured them
together.
I did
get BoJack Horseman vibes.
He had
from
a little bit
times,
of BoJack Horseman, just the way his eyes are kind of in the center of his head. Anyway, I think he's a legend.
Well, how about, so Nate.
A purebred.
So Nate's, so like it or not, Nate's the champion here. He walks away with the ring, puts the banner up in the rafters. Where do you guys rank him in the annals?
some Jed vibes in my mind right now.
Yeah, me too. There's something about it. We're going to talk a lot about former Bachelor and kind of hot mess of a person, Colton, in our bonus episode this week because of the Colton Coming Out documentary that's on Netflix. And I kind of have the same feeling I do about him as I do about Nate, where it's just a gut feeling of this guy's no...
You think he's gay?
No, I don't think he's gay, but I think he's... I think he would pretend to be gay in order to, you know, take some of the heat off of him when he does something bad in the future. I don't think he's a good guy. I don't know what it is. And it's hard. I don't have a lot of reason to think otherwise other than just like a gut feeling of it and his tattoos. But like, I just, something about him bugs me.
I don't think he's a bad guy. He seems like a good guy to me, especially... and after the final rose, when we were, he seemed a little looser and we're getting a sense of his off camera game mm-hmm. that maybe we didn't see during the season.
Because you're naive, Wally. That's why.
No,
you're too sweet for this world.
I don't think the referees didn't villainize him, but I think they awkwardized him with the edit. I think they made him, for the sake of drama, they made it seem like it was tougher sledding than it actually was.
I see.
But so I think he's a good guy. I think the criticisms of him have been far fetched and unfair. Like, a shaman doesn't think you're vulnerable enough. Who cares? Like, shamans are the kiss of death all the time. Like, I don't know why anyone takes their opinion seriously anymore in competitive speed dating. But the fact is that 90...
I don't know why it was so funny when you just went in on a shaman like that. Just the concept of a
He seems like a good guy, too. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But he's probably a good shaman, but not for speed dating, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Shaman advice is more for like when to harvest the crops and stuff. Not like,
yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, right. Stick to crop harvesting, shaman.
But the
we want an astrologist over here.
What kind of kid you're gonna have? Or something.
But the fact is, this is what Nate has going against him is that in the rom com, there's the very handsome guy who isn't trying very hard, and then there's the plucky guy who maybe isn't as conventionally handsome, but he's charming. He's putting the effort in, and you're like, oh, clearly he's the one.
Right.
He's the one that I want. Kate Hudson or whoever it is to end up with by the end of the movie. Nate's the tall, hot guy who's doesn't seem like he's trying very hard, and that's his style, and that's his right. But that's why I think 95% of America, just based on that, was rooting against him last night, and we're gonna remember it. We will remember this as like, oh yeah, the tall, hot guy won. Of course he did.
Yeah, well, I think, one, I'm going to remember this season for Brandon, because I've never seen that since covering the show. Someone so sincerely, you know, plunge headfirst into into a pit of doom. But, yeah, I think Nate's legacy... Right, you almost... They're linked. You can't hold Brandon as the hero unless you have a villain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... I see a lot of what you're saying. It probably is unfair that his style is, you know, the bad guy in an Adam Sandler movie. I do think he's a lazy player, though. You know, like, I think even at best, you know, he didn't do the homework to find. Yeah, I agree with the two suit speech. So he packed two suits. What does that mean? So it, you didn't think you were going to make it, so you didn't give a shit about this?
That's what I got from that, yeah. Is that he wasn't confident that he was going to last and that this thing could work out.
You're literally on a TV show where you're going to be in a suit at least six times, and you brought two suits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just says that you're a child. I think the thing about him is he's a child. Like, his parents said it in Hometowns. Michelle's parents, who I totally believe, Ephraim and LaVon, with their feelings that they have about him, I have the same things. I know during After Final Rose, they're like, no, we've warmed up to him, he's great. I don't believe it.
I wasn't sure if they actually feel that way or if it was just like trying to present a united front.
They're trying to present a united front because they care about Michelle being happy, and I think she probably asked them to do that.
Yeah, you don't want a Peter Weber situation.
No, not at all. I think that they know that this guy's just, yeah, exactly.
Babs is going to drop in and be like, Michelle has to fail to succeed.
Yeah,
it's like, whoa, where'd you come from,
Babs? Yeah, yeah. That would be awesome. But yeah, no, I think that's what it is. I think he's just not prepared for to be, you know, to do that. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. It's like, oh, you're going to move from Winnipeg? Yeah, it's just in a couple months. Like, all right. He fucking bombed the final rose stuff, too. Like, on the couch he was bombing. He had time to think about all that.
If you bring two suits onto The Bachelor, it means you're not ready to be engaged. Like, that's the end of it. And I think all of his hesitation was that he knew he was caught between a rock and a hard place. He knew he needed to lie to win, but he... also knew that if he said flat out, yeah, I'll move to Minneapolis, and didn't, then people would call him a hypocrite online, and they'd call him a liar, and he'd be, you know, raked over the coals. So he, I don't know. He got off scot-free, and yeah, I think that is kind
of
shitty.
That's why, in terms of athlete comparisons, Nate to me is like Shaq, where everyone's like, Shaq, why don't you work on your free throws? Why don't you get into better shape? And he's like, well, because no one can cover me. And so it doesn't really matter. I don't really have to put in the extra work. That's Nate. It's not his fault, but the fact is that he just wasn't going to be beat and no one was going to be able to cover him.
Mm-hmm. They're both tall, I guess.
And similarly, because Michelle to me is like a great athlete who has a great career and then is down in the twilight of their career says, you know what? I haven't won a championship yet. I'm going to hitch my wagon to the sure thing. Like Karl Malone, when he did his time with the Jazz, had a Hall of Fame career, and then he said, you know what, let me team up with Shaq and Kobe on the Lakers and see if I can ride the coattails to a championship. That's what I enjoyed covering Michelle this season overall, but that's the taste in my mouth that I'm left with.
Yeah. I don't know. Overall, I mean, it was a good season. I thought it was surprising to me how Joe fell at the end for the same thing that essentially Nate almost fell from, which is just like not being able to be vulnerable and open up properly and be able to have a fucking charismatic conversation with some parents. Like, I think if Joe went to that, he would have had the same sort of interactions with them, except he'd have a little bit more to talk about. I'm still mad about it. And I actually don't think that it's going to affect history. That I think give 3 months for the dust to settle and the things to actually fall into place, and then we'll have a better vision of what the season meant.
Something you said made me, you know, for my New Year's coming up, feel like as an
old anxiety,
old anxiety, whatever that means.
Old anxiety,
old anxiety,
old anxiety,
old lang syne,
old lang syne.
Old one word is old lang.
Old
L A.
This is stupid. I don't care anymore.
Sorry, everyone.
I don't care.
Sign.
Here's what I'm saying. I have a New Year's resolution to be a better analyst, and I think the first lesson I'm going to take into the new year is that the failure, the lack of communication thing, I think is bullshit. There's a lot of code words on this show, mm-hmm. right? We talk about it all the time. I think can't communicate really means I don't like you. That's what it means. Because you know who else isn't actually the best communicator? Brandon.
Yeah.
That guy, he's not exactly Shakespeare. You know, after the final rose, he said something like, you know, God told him, yo. You know what I mean? Like,
we don't know that he doesn't talk like that.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. You can't put it past him.
And in fact, I kind of hope he does.
That's a fair point. But I don't know. I actually think now if you are having trouble opening up on this show, I question if it means you're actually guarded and just means that you don't give a shit.
I think that's what it is. I think it's you're on the show because you thought it'd be funny to sign up for The Bachelor. You got on it. Then you're like, oh, shit, this could actually help my career and my whatever small business I have or entrepreneurship or, you know.
Or I want to be an Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just I'm going to get a bunch of Instagram followers for this and that could do something for me. And then you get far enough and you have enough, like, sort of moments. I believe that there might be some moments just because you're with these people for so long that they're like, oh, you know, this chick, I'm going to have sex with this chick. Like, oh, we're kind of dating almost in like this weird bubble thing. And then in the back of their minds, like, oh, fuck, man, I got to like, if I want to win this now, it's like the next step and I could be like The Bachelor or something. I got to like pretend that I like I got to pretend whatever she wants. You know what I mean? Like, I got to act. And some of these guys are not actors. And that's what it reads as, like, oh, he's not good at communicating. It's like, yeah, he's not a good actor. He can't like fake the bullshit that you want him to say.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. I'd say 90% of the time on the show, even people who we think of now as like real couples and stuff, it's just nonsense.
And despite the fact that Nate struggled to communicate in the championship game, he ends up stealing Michelle's heart away. But is it the best defensive play that we saw in this title game? Coming up next, we're going to be talking all things swats, deflections, box outs, and down hard, gritty defense in Steal the Night. This is the steal of the night. Steal the Night brought to you by Little Nero's Pizza, serving the Chicago metropolitan area. Lovely cheese pizzas since 1990. So a lot of great offensive play, particularly from Brandon in this title game. But great opportunities to play some hard, gritty defense as well. Zach, let's start with you. Who gets your steal of the night for the championship?
I mean, I should give it to Nate for what I feel like is stealing this whole thing at the end, stealing the title, because I don't think he earned it. But I'm going to give it to LeVon for just playing some really good, you know, we've seen some final family defense happening. I think we brought it up last night in the group chat, the Lewendike's saying like, oh, this person is nice or whatever, but this girl is actually part of the family.
Yeah.
You know, it gave me notes of that.
When they were like, you will choose Becca because Lauren is not fit for the Lewendike.
Exactly,
to bear the Lewendike name.
Exactly, which has got to be funny now.
And weird, because she looks like them.
Awkward, yeah.
She looks way more Dutch.
And she has the footage of them saying that they don't like her.
Yeah. I guess Kufrin is also could be a... Anyway, the... That vibe happened aggressively last night, and I liked it. I liked to see it. I liked the fact that she just kind of shot straight and said, like, don't pick this guy, please. And then she picked him. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. But, yeah, just the way that she was so straight about it. And even Ephraim, who is just, like, the most Zen Buddhist monk that we've ever seen on this show, was even pretty harsh with his words for him, you know, what he was doing. I thought the LeVon and Ephraim, I got to give it to those two for just playing as much defense as they can, even though it wasn't successful ultimately in the end.
Here's the thing, though. I'm a big weenie, but even I'm not weenie enough to pick the person that my parents tell me to pick. I almost wonder if there's like a...
I thought that too, like a because
reverse psychology to it.
It seems so clear until her mom said, until she brought Nate home and they're like, yeah, that guy sucks. And then she was like, oh, but that makes me like him more.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I kind of felt that moment happen, that switch when her mom said like, please don't pick him. That she was like, ugh, her, like eyes rolled
like,
a little
bit.
Like,
how much of a weenie would you have to be like, well, my mom likes him. You know what I mean? So I'm going to marry him? What?
Yeah.
Because also at that point, I think she was just so.
What?
That might be why you're not married yet.
I think she was just
and
so.
I never will be if my parents tell me to.
Right.
I'm not cleaning my room.
Yeah.
I think at that point, Michelle was just so consumed by the crush that if LeVon had said, you know what, I think Nate's the one, she'd be like, yeah, there's the validation that I need. But if LeVon went the route she did, where she's like, you know what, I like Brandon better. She's like, you know what, maybe now's the time I need to stick. Whatever her parents were going to say, she was going to use that as to justify why she was going to end up going with Nate.
Yeah, for sure, of course.
But, I mean, give LeVon, Ephraim, and even her sister, whose name is Vanessa, I think.
Was I want to say Vanessa.
Was that the sister?
That checks out.
They put Nate through the ringer and asked him the tough questions and made him sweat and scramble a little bit. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was the push he needed to think to himself, am I ready for this? Can I get down on a knee? Can I sit down with Neil Lane and buy a ring from him? So, yeah, great family defensive effort, particularly.
Get a ring fronted from him.
Yeah. DA, who you got for Seal of the Night?
Well, I have two. And apropos of Zach's pick, mine was Michelle's sister, specifically with her great call out about Nate moving to Minnesota, where she said, okay, so you're willing to go to Minnesota, but are you willing to stay?
Yeah.
And he had nothing. he just took that and just shit himself.
That was hilarious.
That said, my other one I think is even a greater steal, because I just completely stole the moment in its entirety of Brandon's proposal were the waves and all of the shitty sound quality.
The waves the whole time are just like, where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at?
I think it was it was weird. It's a sound design thing, right? It's just some either they were talking really quietly, so the lavs had to be completely turned up to the point where like the gain levels are so high, they just were catching that noise. I mean, they were next to a giant fucking cliff face with waves crashing against it. So like, you know. But it was hilarious.
I could not hear anything.
It was hilarious. It was pretty funny. There was some fun tweets about it.
And that must have been so frustrating for Brandon because he was heartbroken.
Yeah.
And Michelle can't hear what he's trying to say to explain his heartbreak.
Yeah.
Big.
It's fun.
Yeah, great defense by the waves there. But here's but here's a consolation prize for Brandon is that I'm actually going to give him Steal of the Night. And I'm going to give it to him for his performance at After the Final Rose. First of all, he comes out with the Hugh Hefner jacket on, signaling that, yeah, my heart's broken, but this is a new chapter. I'm going to amp up the horniness and whatever's next.
I'm here to have sex.
I'm here to, I am here to party starting tonight. But then also what I love about After the Final Rose is watching the loser on the hot seat and watching how they handle it, and particularly how they handle seeing the person who broke their heart for the first time. And I feel like the best way you can go about it is sneak in a few sour grapes under the veneer of graciousness and, I wish you the best and all the happiness. And under that guise, make it sound like they're fresh grapes and get a few daggers in. And he succeeded in doing that a couple times. First of all, when he was like, I feel like you took my love for granted, telling me you loved me and then pulling this on me. Mm-hmm. And secondly, what I thought was a really salient comment was he said, you know, watching it back, I didn't see your side of it in the moment, but even when I watched it back, it seemed like I made my love so clear to you and it was all on the table. It was so transparent. Whereas Nate, it felt like you had to push him to say that he's in love with you.
It's a fun, subtle thing. It was kind of like when you see your ex. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And not only did he get that in a gracious way, but he didn't let her respond either. He said, so yeah, it seemed like you had to push Nate, but you know, I wish you the best. And then didn't let her. And so I think that is the perfect way to handle
it. He is really good at that. That was a good move. Yeah. It was truly like, you break up with someone and then you see him like 3 months later and you got like an amazing new job. And then like the new person that they're with is like, oh yeah, that guy. I think I heard of him. Anyway. Yeah. Have a good day. Like, you know what I mean? Just like subtle shade.
And then speed off in your new
but
Toyota
you still
Corolla.
Feel like, yeah, it's so great to see you. Yeah. Yeah. So nice to see you. Have a good one.
So we've got some really prime candidates here. Three different ones for Steal the Night. Before the year's over, let us know who you think should win Steal the Night for this championship game. But up next, though, before we decide that, we've got to hand out keys to the city that nobody wants to go to, in Mayor of Choketown.
Hear ye, hear ye, I pronounce thee the Mayor of Choketown.
Mayor of Choketown this week brought to you by Nakatomi Plaza. Join us Christmas Eve for our company holiday party. So a lot of great performances from the championship game, but not a great night for everybody. Daniel, let's start with you. Who gets your keys to the city in this final game?
Sorry, I was thinking about what if Toyota Corolla was our sponsor? And they gave us ad copy that was something like, speed off after you tell an ex-loved one to go fuck themselves.
That'd be fun, Kyle.
But they don't support us, so...
Why that was my revenge car, I have no idea. Yeah. I feel like that says a lot about where I am.
Yeah, totally.
Toyota Corolla.
That to me is like, oh yeah, that
did you just get out of a high school relationship?
That
this
really
is your upgrade.
That to me sounds so nice.
All right, what was the question?
You got a shift at Mimi's Cafe you have to get to after you break up with your ex. Yeah.
I'm going to go off to meet the cast of the high school play at Denny's in my Toyota Corolla.
Beats having a bike.
Yeah, that's true.
Toyota Corolla.
Hey.
Our final keys to the city of the year, DA, who you got?
Oh, man. All right, well, I think it's easy. It's Michelle. You know?
Mm. Wow.
This lady talks a big game about wanting to make sure the person she's with loves her.
And then she got a guy who arguably doesn't.
Yeah, there was one who really, really loved her and one who clearly didn't. Yeah. She made the wrong choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know if clearly didn't is fair, though. I think that Nate is into her, but it's just... Brandon is so certain about it, whereas Nate, I feel like he was still waffling all the way to the end.
Well, you know, yeah, I think he's into her, but, you know, Michelle specifically said, I want someone who, you know, I want to be on the same page, right? I don't want that person. She always said that she always felt like she loved the other person more. Mm-hmm. And I still think that with Nate, do you think that's fair, that she loves Nate more than Nate loves her?
I believe that's correct,
yeah. Yeah, so I think we need to get therapy as a sponsor and... maybe hook Michelle up, because I think that's what she needs. You know what I mean? It seems like she has a pattern she's developing. Like,
not only is Nate I'm going to hop and piggyback on this. Is not only is Nate a true literal foreigner being from Canada, but I think he's also a metaphorical foreigner because he wants to know what love is. And he doesn't. He doesn't. And I think he still hasn't found it. I think he thinks that this is love, but he doesn't quite know. And he can't answer it outright. That's why, like, when her sister asked her, when her mom was trying to push on that, he was kind of like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I know what, like, how love feels. Yes, love is this, you know? He was stumbling all over himself, and I feel bad.
Love because, is moving to Minnesota.
Yeah, within weeks, not months. So, yeah. You know, it's tricky. It's a tricky thing, but I think I'm going to agree with Duds that he probably got it. With special mention to the, I don't know. I was going to give it to the sound department, but they are fucking trying their hardest. They're working people that are trying their hardest. I don't want to shit on them.
This isn't a Mayor of Choketown, but this is a sound department question.
They had hard live stuff going on during the live show, too.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That being said, what was the deal with the censorship when What did he say?
I think he was probably like
Brandon,
the shit or something, because he was talking about how he felt bad.
Well, we heard him say, he said, I fucking miss your father. But because it was live, they couldn't get to it.
He said,
time.
I fucking miss your father?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so...
And so...
They did. They had the 7 second... On the broadcast I was watching, they had a 7 second delay, cut it, but it sounded like it was a mic issue.
Oh, because what I was watching, I heard fucking and then a beep. So, like, they missed the part they wanted to censor, but then they censored missing
delay,
your
father. They're like, oh, the guy was, like, probably passed out of his shirt because he'd never have to use that during After the Final Rose. And he's like, oh, shit, we have to censor.
So I just heard pure censorship. You know,
that's probably why they
because
were late
of the
Hulu
version. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It takes it, whatever.
It was a few hours late getting on Hulu. It was probably taking to get that beep in there.
I thought he said, like, I miss tapping that ass, you know? Right. I miss rubbing up against your butt cheeks with my dick. Like, whoa. And then you say, oh, I fucking miss your dad.
That's
really is a different
that
vibe.
That is crazy. That is a crazy thing to tell your ex. I fucking miss your dad. Put that on a t-shirt. Hey, we gotta see who won the fantasy league.
Yeah,
they're gonna get a
that's right. Big announcement at the end of the night.
We maybe that'll be the t-shirt.
We have a Christmas. Yeah, I fucking miss your father.
The Bachelor Zone. I fucking miss your father.
Bachelor Zone.
And
yeah,
I think Michelle fucking missed what her father was trying to tell her about who was the right guy to choose.
This guy's such a pro, man. That transition.
Yeah.
Getting us back on track. Go ahead, Wally. I'm sorry.
And so that's why I'm going to make this a clean sweep. I think Michelle and Nate, maybe they can get to the point where it's a true love. But as of today, I feel like Brandon was the true love and Nate was the crush. Mm-hmm. And I think deep down she knows that, but she just kind of wants to keep sleeping with Nate. And so even though, again, I thought I admire the way she handled things for largely speaking throughout the season. I thought she was eloquent. She was firm in her decisions. She stood her ground. The complaint that I have, though, is that first it was Joe and then it was Nate, where it felt like she was getting overcome by these high school crushes. And I feel like that's the note that we end on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I want to say this, too, where, you know what, on one hand, like, you shouldn't ever be forced to pick, you know what I mean? Okay, so great.
Yeah,
Brandon,
the premise is fucked from the
get-go. Yeah. Yeah, Brandon loves you. It doesn't mean you have to end up with Brandon just because he loves you, right? But you did have a pool of 30 men to eventually whittle it down to someone who you liked and also or loved and also, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. She still deserves mayor of Choketown for ending up with Nate. Yeah. However she got the, you know what I mean?
Like, it's not like a Pilot Pete thing where he's like, let's see, who can still stand me?
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, she still had a bunch of... She left a lot of serious cards on the table.
There was some Olu left on the table. You know what I mean?
Some Rick, some Rodney. Some Rodney. Yeah. She had some good options. Yeah. Some people really... Yeah.
A little bit of Rodney.
So, Michelle and Nate, they end up together. Do they have what it takes? And what does the future hold for Brandon and our next Bachelor, Clayton? We're going to be talking about that next as we assess who's thriving, who's merely surviving, and who's driving on the 134 over to Pasadena in Ring Rosa Road. Ring Rosa Road this week brought to you by Red Rider BB Guns. You'll shoot your eye out. So, guys, first, let's start with the happy question mark couple. They seem happy. They seem happy at the very least.
I like the way that everything's a question mark.
Yeah. I'm not sure if she made the right choice. It is a choice that I feel like could work out. But what do you guys think? Ring Rosa Road for this couple.
Road.
Just full stop road?
Yeah, about a month. I'm gonna
that's
say a
it?
Month
well,
and a half.
Can we
from
do an,
now, so a few months.
You guys want to do like some sort of comedy bet, like an over-under? Or
okay.
just all, should we, is it worth it? Because I think, I also
the odds
think,
are crazy, yeah.
Yeah, what are the, like, you think over-under a
the
month?
The Vegas line is 7.5 months.
Yeah, I think that's more fair. Because I would have taken the over for the month, but 7.5 months? That's a good, Vegas.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they know
there.
What they're doing.
Yeah.
I'll take
the
over.
The
you
hole.
Know I'll take the over? What are you taking?
I said I'm still in the hole from last time.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm still waiting to get on. I'm probably going to get on Rochelle Mises from Walk You Out podcast comedy show coming up here soon.
All right. Well, do you want to do a tight 15 or do you guys want to do a different bet?
Of course not.
Grabbing your stomach.
Yeah. It's my chunk.
Is that you're going to do a lot of physical comedy?
Yeah.
Zach just took his shirt off for some reason and started rubbing his stomach. I don't know what that was all about.
Cozy.
I fucking miss your father, too.
I fucking miss your dad, daddy. Miss your dad, daddy.
All right. You know, we won't have to do a bet. I think it's going to be. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, I hung out with Duddy's like long-lost brother a couple days ago.
It was very cool.
Gonna,
we'll talk about it left
talk
unsaid.
Talk about it left unsaid, yeah. Just some bonus content.
All right, I'm going to say the over because of the 200K.
Yes.
They're buying the over.
I feel like...
That's how much they got in that box?
Yeah, it's $200,000 down payment.
Jesus Christ.
That, to me, seals the over.
Yeah. I mean, at least they'll be landlords together. They'll be, yeah, business, yeah. Partners. Like, they'll be business partners together for a while, yeah.
Because now you're not just
that's
walking...
such a huge piece of it. Holy shit, I thought they'd put them like $20,000 because it's in Minnesota.
Because now you're not just walking away from
an... Yeah, they bought a skyrise at that one.
I was going to say, like, that's not 10% of what you can buy in Minnesota. That's like a fucking... That's an L.A. down payment.
That's a mansion. Yeah. Yeah. Minnesota mansion.
Yikes.
Yeah. So now if they walk away from it, they're walking away from an all expenses paid wedding and a Minnesota mansion. Yeah. So I think those buy you,
yeah,
like...
Lane's going to fucking break his ankle.
Yeah. So to me, those two things buy you 5 months each. And then I'll give another 2 months and make it a year because I actually... Yeah. I don't know if Nate is sure about what just happened, but I do think there's something there. I do think that he is into Michelle and is interested in exploring making it work.
He can figure it out. And also, she's rock solid in terms of like her family and her life. It seems like, yeah, like she's got a nice job. I mean, arguably being a teacher is a hard job and underpaid, but it's a job that she's passionate about, and she's trying to get her master's to probably teach at a higher level also. Like she's fine, and I think because she's so fine, Nate can just kind of be a house husband if he wants. I think that's mm-hmm. what Brendan was kind of, the vibes that Brendan was giving off too. Like, he'd be happy to do that when he was saying he'd move to her immediately. He's like, yeah, I'll just fucking hang out. Like, she seems like she got her shit together. Yeah.
And also, it wasn't the most satisfying conclusion, but I certainly didn't feel like it was a Juan Pablo Nikki where it felt like a hostage situation. It's like, let's just smile for the camera for a couple
or
months.
Yeah.
Until we can, like, separate forever.
Yeah.
I do feel like it doesn't feel like that to me at all. Like, I sincerely think that they're going to take a real shot at exploring it and making it work.
We'll see. We haven't had it the last couple ones, right? That hasn't worked out.
That's true. They tend to fall. Yeah.
Even the Bachelorettes, which is unusual, haven't been going that well.
Joe and Serena were looking good kissing under the mistletoe, though.
They did. I wish I knew more about their life.
Paradise is the secret.
Yeah.
You want to find love, go in paradise.
I think it's just a more realistic environment, right? That's kind of what dating is if you live in like a really trashy part of Miami. You know what I mean? Or like San Diego or L.A. Like, that's kind of what it is. You're just hanging out with a bunch of hot people a lot, and then eventually you have a connection with one of them, and then you have a puppy and kids.
Well, speaking of paradise, it's if he's up to it, it's a virtual certainty that Brandon is going to make his way down there and go for a second shot at love. Ring Rose or Row when he gets down there?
Ring.
Yeah, Ring, man. I think he's gonna be like Rose for Joe. You just brought him up, Joe and Serena. He's going to find a Serena. He might have to. He might get attacked by a Demi or two or someone like that, especially from these last couple seasons. But... No, he's, whoever Clayton ends up fucking breaking the hearts of or whatever or sleeping with, whoever gave the rose back to Clayton is going to go down there and give him a hard time. But he's going to end up with someone real sweet, and it's going to be great.
If Brandon doesn't kill it in paradise, I think it would be the biggest shocker I've ever, like, seen on this show. The guy has all three H's out the wazoo, especially the one that I think is so important when you come in. Being such a high seed, and that's humility. This guy, I don't think he is gonna have a problem. Like, he doesn't have to go for the Tias, right? He doesn't have to go for the bachelor royalty to be happy. You know, I kind of see him, honestly, a player comp would be Riley. You know, think I could see him coming in, finding his Marissa, going, that's my person. I'm gonna lock it down. I'm gonna, you know, play a good game. But the thing is, he's going to have so much heat on him that person's going to be like, hell yeah, of course. This is Brandon.
Mm-hmm. And because of that heat, that's why if I'm coaching him in the offseason or training with him, I'm talking with him about the Blake Horseman trap where I say, look, do not dope. Stay away from Coachella. If you're feeling down on yourself, just relax. Go in there fresh. Mm. You take this heartbreak as proof in the pudding that this can work.
I don't know. Did you see that jacket he was wearing last night?
It felt a little like like Blake and Paradise
that's,
to me.
That's yeah. the horniest.
He's yeah. yeah. Go he's going to Stagecoach or whatever the fuck, yeah.
But you're right, D.A., that the humility is there. I feel like even before the game last night, he already had it. And now he's coming off of a heartbreaking loss.
Yeah.
That was humiliating for him and humbling. And so I think that's a good thing to have for him going
He'll
on.
He'll be a hero, probably waking up in a sea of women as we speak right now.
Yeah,
12 blocks west of here.
It could be the Tyler Cameron thing where it's like he doesn't even need Paradise.
He might be fine, yeah.
Yeah.
He might just roll right off into the
I hope so.
Into the sunset. It's possible.
Well, I hope to see him on Paradise, but I hope, sure. God, I hope that guy finds happiness more than anyone ever on this show.
There might be an opening behind the bar, according to like just the way that he's been feeling underappreciated.
Not for him.
About that. You don't think so?
No.
Maybe in the future once he's retired.
I think he's likable enough. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Once he's found his love story and it works out, yeah. like that, yeah, then that's like
mm-hmm. he finds his Sarah Hyland.
Yeah.
Cool.
And now we coming up in just a couple weeks, we've got Clayton trying to find his love story. We've seen a few trailers for what his season's going to look like.
It all makes I'll put it this way. It all makes sense.
What makes sense?
Why they announced Clayton. Could you imagine if at 10 p.m. last night or 11 p.m. after we saw what Brendan went through and how the season turned out and how the Final Four looked? If they were like, all right, you guys ready to hear your new bachelor? Let's meet him. And Clayton walked out, it would have been fucking boo.
We would have been like, who the fuck? I would
have
forgotten who it was.
Boo town. Yeah. If they announced him any time in the last 2 weeks even, it would have been boo town. So they immediately got out of the way so that they could have what they did last night. We're like, all right, please give him a chance. Look at how many people fucking hate him. Look at how shitty like people think he
wow.
is. How people are awful. Please, like, are you going to be mean to this guy? He's already been through so much. You know, it was self-defense. It's that argument. It's like, this guy is not shitty, you know? Like,
I think you're absolutely
he's
right.
He's a total
yeah.
piece of shit, yeah. but because he's who he is, they're like, oh, come on, please. We need the ratings in the Midwest.
I think they were like, do we want people to complain about this on Twitter for several weeks yeah. and then let it fizzle out? Or do we want a disaster on the last night of
yeah,
the season?
It would have been like a fucking boycott situation.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
that's
in fairness, I feel like Clayton's innocent in this. I think
it's not his. I mean, it is and isn't his fault. Like, it's like his upbringing. You know, it's like he was just put into it. You know what I mean?
Well, but in terms of his actual season, though, do you think yeah. he's playing for the ring, the rose, or the road?
I mean, he's going to get a ring, obviously. Actually, I'm gonna give him like a very, very, very cautious ring, maybe like a big rose, because the way that everything looks and how, quote unquote, broken he's going to be, I think he might not end up with someone, which is probably fine, especially after what we saw this season and depending on how it ends up.
What
so, technically not a ring, but...
What do you think, D.A.?
I think it's going to be really tough for him to avoid the road. Just in terms of, like, he might find love, but, you know, already the previews look dire.
Did you notice that one of the things about this, it might be boring, one of the things that there's a soundbite of one of the girls being like, he's the total package. He's strong, fit, and strong. And
oh,
strong.
God,
like,
yeah.
Basically said the same
they
thing
like
three
the
times.
And Snow White.
Yeah, yeah. He's strong, tall, and masculine. Yeah. Whatever, like, there's just three synonyms. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's it. I mean, but you know what? Maybe Bachelor, you know, the refs in their infinite wisdom know, they're like, okay, we need to get back to basics. We need to get people married again on this show. We need someone from the Midwest who attracts people who just like him for being tall, strong, and masculine, or tall, strong, and strong. And that's how you make a winner again. That's how you get a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. So I don't know. I don't fucking know, man.
Yeah,
it seems ominous because this whole thing is already off to a road start. No one wanted this. Everyone, or almost no one wanted it, except for Fleiss and the boys at Big Bachelor. Yeah. And then what I thought was really interesting was when Caitlin introduced him, she said, this next guy needs an introduction because nobody knows who he is.
That felt unscripted.
Right, yeah. It might have been.
Unscripted. I wonder if she... Yeah.
That was either a dig that she threw in, or they had a strategy meeting like, look, like, everyone's kind of pissed that there's no game footage on this guy. So, like, maybe we kind of, like... joke and like, ah, oh, we feel you, like no one really knows him,
yeah.
and like kind of try to own it, because then not only that, but also like the Jimmy Kimmel read mean tweets
yeah.
thing, which bombed like a ton of bricks,
fake tweets,
yeah,
You could feel it in the room that people are like, these aren't real.
Yeah.
Because people in the room had written tweets about them. And we're like, I wouldn't say it. These are not things that we're mad about.
It totally bombed. And Clayton could go one of two ways. He could either get upset about that and let that get him down, or he could be like, you know what? Fuck what everyone says. I have the opportunity and I'm going to compete.
Yeah, I hope so.
If he
so.
Does the latter route, he's got to, especially since he says he's fallen in love with three women, you know, those are good odds when you got three.
Yeah.
That you could see yourself with.
Not to keep harping on my bullshit, but I think there's going to be a lot of crocodile tears.
A lot of crocodile tears and in turtlenecks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this show is all 100% authentic. I believe every moment. Sure. So, you know?
Sure.
You know what else is authentic is the love that we get from our fans. Thank you so much, all of you, for tuning in every week on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Anywhere you get your podcasts, we're there waiting for you, and we'd love to have you join. Special thanks to all our fans over at Patreon. That's where you get to unlock all our exclusive bonus content, including Left Unsaid, where we get to all the hot topics that we don't have a chance to cover on the main feed. You get to call into your favorite segment and even guest host a bonus episode with us. That's all over at patreon.com/TheBachelorZone. Always love hearing from you on social media, on Twitter and Instagram. We're at BachelorZonePod. By email, we're TheBachelorZonePodcast@gmail.com. If you have a hot take about something that happens during the broadcast or even about our show, we love to hear us. Send us some messages there anytime you'd like. And finally, guys, the big announcement that everyone's waiting for. Fantasy League on the Bash Live app. Top five coming up. Number five, Carolina Dahl sneaks in there with 2805 points. Number four is Noel with 2845. Bronze medal goes to friend of the show, Wicked Witch of the Northeast, with 2865 points. Second place, Jessica Kayla makes a strong run with 2970.
I was rooting for you.
Comes up just short.
Jessica, we might send you a mug as a consolation, as a second place consolation prize.
Great season for Jessica. But, I mean, the most consistent player the whole time, mm-hmm. It was E-Boggs.
Yeah.
She was in second place going to the title game, and she comes out on top. The only person to eclipse the 3,000 mark with 3090 points. E-Boggs, also friend of the show. Congratulations. Yeah. Merry Christmas. Hit us up on Patreon.
Yeah, we'll probably DM you.
Yeah, we'll message
get
you. Yeah.
Get your sizes.
We owe you a t-shirt and we'll...
Presumably your address or P.O. box if you're uncomfortable with that. Yeah, we'll figure something out. Meet you at a parking lot somewhere.
Yeah. Show up to your house.
We'll make the handoff happen.
Tie it to a brick and throw it through the window. Yeah.
We'll have our people reach out to your people.
Sure.
We'll make this happen somehow. Everyone who tuned in this year, thank you so much. It's been a phenomenal year. Great to be back in the studio again with you guys. And thanks so much for staying with us this whole year. It's been so much fun. We'll be right back at it in 2 weeks from now as we cover Clayton starting on January 4th. And can't wait to have you join us for that. Until then, for Zachary Pike and Daniel A. Duddy, I'm Michael Wally. And this is The Bachelor Zone.
Acquaintance be forgot.
This means nothing to me.